Welcome to Crash Concepts, where the economy, energy, and the environment are explored. Up next, fresh ideas and insights into the factors that are driving the world and shaping your future. Presenting information you can't afford to live without, here's Chris Martinson.
Welcome, everyone, to this Peak Prosperity Podcast. I am your host, Chris Martinson, and it is Friday, August 18th, 2017. Hey, we're going to revisit something that we talked about a lot last year. This is the Oroville Dam in Oroville, California. Hey, it probably slipped off of your radar screens, but you remember at the time, there was a huge crisis at the moment. People were evacuated in an emergency because the emergency spillway had overtopped, and there was a danger that this dam could have failed, or at least the spillway could have failed, but that still would have been 20 to 30 feet of water rushing down a narrow valley, wiping out a lot. So it was a big crisis. Now the crisis is past, or has it? We're going to be talking again with the expert we talked with the first time, Scott Cahill. He's a dam contractor, tons of experience, and he's actually been on the ground, had his boots there at Oroville. And Scott Cahill, he's a construction expert, he's a writer, a public speaker, expert witness, sailor, pilot, got a lot of experience in here, 40 plus years of construction and development experience, over $500 million in completed projects, and again, most important part, he's been there at the dam to take a look at it. Scott, welcome back.
Hey, Chris, it is so great to be back with you. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Really? Oh, my pleasure. So let's start. You've been to the dam, haven't you? You've been stomping around and poking at it. Tell us about that.
Well, I did go to the dam. I got a chance to walk it pretty much unimpeded, though observed. I saw what's going on. Of course, I've kept up on the various documents, including a recent document by a Dr. B out of California there. And the gentleman is pretty much in sync with my own thinking. The oddity here, Chris, is that when you and I talked a while back, we'd had this near tragedy within moments of killing hundreds of thousands of people potentially. And as you say, now everything's okay. And it certainly is not. The fact is that nothing yet is better than it was at that point.
Nothing. Wait, haven't
money
they been pouring been concrete and I've saw pictures of fixing.
Yeah, they have spent money. They have poured concrete. They've begun the repairs on the bottom half of the spillway, but the tragedy and loss from the bottom half of the spillway failing has already been realized. No one's worried about the bottom half of the spillway. They've done nothing yet with the upper half of the spillway, which is what would cause a catastrophic failure of the dam. So it's amazing that they've spent this money and their priorities are such that they've not abated the liability at all.
Really? So let's talk about that because so to remind people, there's the main dam face itself. If I have my facts right, it is the tallest dam in the United States, taller even than Hoover. There's a spillway, which is a place where water is normally supposed to come down. That suffered quite a bit of damage. People saw all the damage pictures from that. That was that concrete sluiceway that mostly got eaten away. And then there's an emergency spillway, which is that big long piece if you're facing the dam to the left. And I guess the idea for that is if water ever got to that level, it would just sort of sheet over the top of that. Which is the parts that we're talking about now? Did I have that right?
You do, right. You have the spillway itself, which failed under a moderate flow, and the bottom half of the spillway was effectively lost quickly. And then you had the emergency spillway, which topped as an uncontrolled spillway, so that whatever water comes in goes out across that spillway. And it failed at 3% of its rated flow. So that's pretty abysmal performance, to put it lightly. So the spillways, certainly we've made the bottom of the principal spillway, the concrete sluiceway spillway, more sound, but it's not the bottom of it that will fail the dam. Of course, it's the crest, the top of it, where the gates are. And that is highly suspect. And there are issues there that involve moving of water through the dam. Of course, everyone that's kept up on this remembers the green spot, as we've called it so many times, an area where water is moving through the dam, probably through the indigenous soils adjacent to it. And the people responsible have said that the green spot, which exists year-long, including during droughts, is just from rainfall. And all the engineers who are involved in this immediately responded that they don't buy that. But that is pretty much where they stand. They at least want people to believe that they believe that it's simply from rainfall causing grass to grow. I walked on it, and you can stick your foot down, and like a backyard after a torrential rain, water actually comes up into the footprint after you remove your foot. So it's not a good situation, and I believe there's a lot of that movement of water through the dam, including at the structure itself that houses the gates, the tender gates or radial arm gates that control the flow down the principal spillway.
Now, Scott, hold on here. We're talking about the dam face itself. This is not the spillways, but the dam face on the far right as we're facing this thing. This is one of the tallest, or not the tallest, dam face in the United States. And you're saying, so there's a green spot on there, which, as I understand it, is because of vegetation, which is green. And the vegetation is there in a relatively dry part of the world, normally, because there's plenty of water there. So that's the green spot, right? It's just higher vegetation
growth,
right?
Yeah, it's in the left groin, which is facing downstream, is on the left-hand side. As you said, looking at the dam from downstream, it's on the right.
Yeah.
And it's vegetation, which remains green, even in drought. And it's obvious to, I think, any thinking person that it's water which is migrating through the dam. That can be marginally concerning or greatly concerning, depending on, after investigation, how you find that water is moving, but they've opted to simply discharge it as rainwater.
And who's they in this story? Who's saying that?
It's interesting. It's, you know, there's the California Dam Safety, which is the regulator, and California Dam Safety tells dam owners what they must do with their dam. And they have the right to fine people incredible amounts of money and even imprison them if they don't bring their dams up to minimum standards when they're requested to do so. The California Dam Safety, though, is a division of the Department of Water Resources of California, which owns this dam. So effectively, a guy is reporting to his boss, who's asking the guy, how did I do? And the guy's responding, gee, boss, you did great. And he gets to keep his job. So you have a regulator who's working for the dam owner, which in my beliefs, you don't have a regulator then. And I believe that's part of the problem of the culture of that dam. It is significant, it's deep, and it continues. And even still, you see that the greatest concerns of the dam have not been addressed.
Now, let's talk again about how this dam face itself was constructed. It's not like Hoover Dam, which was out of poured concrete and rebar, is it?
It is not. This is an earthen embankment dam. It's 770 feet long. It's a massive dam. Hoover's 700 feet tall. So that gives you an idea of the magnitude of the structure. An earthen embankment dam, Hoover, I believe, is a gravity arch dam. It is actually a structure that resists movement by spreading that force to the abutting rock. This one is a pile of dirt, and there's nothing wrong with embankment dams. They're wonderful dams, but it relies on the mass of the earth itself to offset the forces that try to slide or rotate that embankment into failure. Those forces, though, are offset by what's called foundation pressure, which is water moving through the dam. So that is one of the reasons that when we see water migrating through a dam, it can potentially cause failure of the dam because it offsets the mass of the earth that produces it. This was made from a number of tailings that were used, that were taken when gold was taken out of the rivers. And therefore, there's much river rock and sand in this embankment, which constitutes this mass. And river rock, as we all know, is round. And anyone can understand a pile of round rocks if the fines have been washed out of them by water moving through them, and then they're vibrated, for instance, by seismic activity. So there are some concerns with this water moving through the dam that are very, very serious. And by the way, Chris, I don't believe it's just the left abutment, because there's differential settlement and other things near the gate structure and on the other side of the dam also, which are very concerning. So I believe that this is a situation that's occurring in multiple places and that this is simply not being discussed.
All right. So just to complete this on that one side where the green patch is, the green spot, it looks like there's water moving through. We can easily dispense with the idea that this is rainwater on the surface. And if that water's moving through, the concern is that then the fines have been washed away so that there's actually water when it goes through stuff, it erodes it, right? That's just the nature of water. It always
does that. Absolutely.
The concern is it's moving stuff and it's moving things that are resisting water flow, and it might move more and more of it. And so more and more water might flow over time, if I understand that right. So has there been a sense that this green spot has gotten larger, or is it kind of always been there, or what's the story with it?
It's been there for a very long time, but you're exactly right with what you're saying. It will only continue to worsen. And the question is, at what rate will this occur? There's no doubt that this is what we call a failure mode, that if it is allowed to continue for an indefinite amount of time, it will cause the dam to fail. So that is a reality. And everyone I think really in their heart knows that. So they say, well, it's not a big deal. Now they make up things like this rain theory, which is just ridiculous. But the reality of this is that we don't know. It could be, it could be next week, or it could be 1,000 years from now. But certainly, this is a situation which is untenable and needs to be resolved in a dam. You don't want water moving through your dam for obvious reasons.
Well, two things then. First, is it being monitored, I guess, if so, how? And then second, how does one go about fixing something like this?
That's an interesting one. I'm glad you asked that question, actually, Chris, because I should have brought that up. There are things called piezometers, and they are instruments which measure the depth of water within the dam. It's called the phreatic surface, and it is basically the same as the groundwater table on the earth, but it's on this dam. It's shaped like half of a bell, so a bell curve, if you will, and that should never manifest, come out of the dam higher than 30% up. That's very important. So you can watch the depth within these piezometers. Sometimes they're wells, often they're transducers. And you can see if you start to get a swelling or a blister of water where the phreatic surface is raising. So these are very important things. This dam once had 52 of them. I understand that they're down to one or two now that work. Has been ongoing. Yeah, it's just bizarre. Again, the tallest dam in the United States of America. The maintenance history of this dam is abysmal. It's disgusting. And, this is something that we desperately need right now, our piezometers, so we can understand the depth of the phreatic surface through this dam, again, which has a direct association with being able to compute the stability of the dam. So without that data, and with all these piezometers broken as they are, all but one or two of them, it's just a ridiculous situation to find ourselves in.
So we're down to people going out there and squishing their boots down and measuring the rate at which the boot hole fills.
We walk around in a jungle in a desert, and then we go back to the office and say, I think it was just rainfall. Their words escape me. And And, you know, my consolation on this is the report that was put out by this Dr. B. I hate to say anything nice about anyone, as you know. I just hate that. But this guy is a really brilliant guy, and he did a beautiful job of evaluation. We don't agree on everything, but what he did was scientifically sound. And he offered his information to these people, as did I. And he became very frustrated and said, there's no point in writing anything else because no one listens. And I understand that feeling. But he was exactly correct in the assessment of this dam. But the culture will not allow this dissension. And time and time again, for instance, the guy, Mr. Croyle, retired, and they brought one of the underlings up into that position. They were asked to get an outside engineer to evaluate it. They hired the predecessor to Mr. Croyle. So it's all within this culture, and they're all patting one another on the back and saying, you're doing great. And meanwhile, the dam is in horrible, horrible, horrible situation. And one day it'll rain again. I promise you, you and I will be talking again, my friend. I hope not, but I predict so.
Yeah, I didn't, Scott, I didn't end up reading that. I didn't end up reading that article yet, but I'm hoping A, you can provide the link so we can take that report. So this Dr. P, tell me what was his main conclusion? What did he come up with?
He decided that it was a problem of maintenance and of culture, and that until the culture changed, nothing would change on the dam, and that it would never be safer. And I agree completely. That's the same assessment that I had of it. He had a number of engineers and dam safety officials that consorted with him to develop this thing. It's one of those things that's an obvious assessment, but he went through the methodology professionally and produced a document. And it was exactly what I believe and what I believe to be correct. And was done in a very professional manner. So it at least documents the things that have been said by many professionals about this ridiculous situation of Oroville, which shockingly threatens the lives and livelihoods of millions of people. So this is a potentially horrific situation that needs to be taken seriously, that's controlled in an environment of I don't know what to call it, but a culture that doesn't take it seriously.
All right. So we never quite got to it, but how would somebody remedy something like this? I remember reading lots of reports about the Mosul Dam in Iraq, where they were very concerned because ISIS had come in, and there were dam engineers there whose daily job it was to probe with these drills into the eroding, I believe it's some kind of a limestone base that this thing is built on, but at least some sort of erosive rock. And then they would have to grout into there. And it was very sort of artsy rather than sciencey. These people with decades of experience would probe down with a 2-inch drill and find a big empty spot and push a big probe down there and grout away. And if they didn't keep doing that, the idea was that this dam might fail from the bottom up. So I know there are ways to sort of remedy a dam that's already built, that's got maybe some erosion happening. What would be the process for this sort of a dam?
You're very accurate on Mosul, by the way. That is pretty much the way that works. And you're also, unfortunately, accurate on the fact that the science is more an art than a science. But I'm one of those people who's grouted many, many dams, and that's one of the things that I've done a lot of. And that is the issue with this dam, the grand issue. There are a number of things that could fail this dam. Of course, overtopping the emergency spillway would only take minutes to take the dam out, even still. And the failure of the gate structure at the top of the primary spillway would take the dam out. I don't know to what degree, but the underlying issue, which you've nailed, is the need for an extensive investigatory and then grouting program to address this movement of porting water and phreatic water through this dam and the indigenous soils on the sides of the dam, the groin, if you will, that is the issue. They should be drilling and filling, drilling and filling. A friend of mine who's a great engineer said to me, Scott, when in doubt, grout. And that is, this dam needs grouted worse than any dam I've ever seen, probably with a urethane type of a grout to bind and to fill these areas where fines have been washed through by this water that seems to be moving through this dam.
And what would be the expense of a program like that, do you think? And just ballpark, you know, is this millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions? What are we talking about?
I think you're probably talking about a $100 to $150 million project to do the entirety of the dam. But when you compare that with $100 million per month expenditure early on flying rocks over and dropping them in holes, it's not particularly significant. So, you know, this unfortunately is turning into a very expensive endeavor, which is going to take much longer than people are pretending and is going to cost much more than people are pretending. And the important thing here when you're talking about literally national viability, if we lost this and lost all of the crops and all of the business in a good section of Northern California, it would be crippling to the entirety of our nation. This is something we can't allow to happen. So even though these seem in magnificent numbers, they are not. And a $100 million grouting program is money well spent. And had they spent that, they would have saved the hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds, probably more, that they've spent already on this dam.
Mm. All right. Well, let's turn now to the wander across the face of the dam to the other side. You've mentioned a few times that you have concerns over by the gates as well. What are your concerns there?
Well, the gates are showing signs of the same situation of water porting beneath them. And those signs manifest as the structure itself cracking and fracturing. These cracks, some of them are 16 feet long. One of the gates has so torsionally rotated in its failure that the gate no longer opens and closes properly, and it's galled against the sides. So these magnificent structures, I mean, they're huge. They're in a process of failing. And they're failing because the foundation is failing, which the most probable reasoning for that is because there's water moving beneath it, removing those fines and allowing that foundation material to become displaced and allowing this thing to settle. There's also indications from what happened when the emergency spillway occurred, when it actuated and failed at 3% of its flow, which I find is unbelievable. There were a number of holes, caverns, if you will, that seemed inappropriate to the topography, that seemed to show that there was water moving beneath the soils and displacing surface soils as well as across the surface of the soil. I can't know if that's true or not because you can't get information, but it appears to me, and that is what I believe is happening here. So I believe that that is probably a greater issue at this moment than the green spot, which is clear on the other end of the embankment of the dam in the left groin. I'm much more worried about the gate structure. And of course, that could have been replaced in this season had we done that instead of rebuilding the bottom of the principal spillway. But that's what was done instead.
And that was what was done instead because there wasn't enough manpower, there wasn't enough money. Was this a prioritization? We can only do one thing, so we're going to do that? Or did this just not somehow float up the decision tree somehow?
It's conjecture, but I imagine that
it was a perception thing. I imagine that they said the bottom half of the spillway is gone and everyone can see that. So if we replace the bottom half of the spillway, which is gone completely, then people will have comfort in seeing the spillway back. Rather than saying, what is the most probable failure mode of this dam and fixing that first and then stepping down to the next and the next, which is, in my belief, the proper methodology for repairing a dam. The first thing you fix is the thing that's most likely to create a catastrophic failure. That's the first issue. And if the bottom of the dam is ugly for a year or two, and if the principal spillway actuates and it washes a bunch of dirt into the Feather River, that's not good, but it's better than losing a dam. So, you know, I would be concerned and am concerned about that gate structure. And in Dr. B's report, he felt the same way also. So I'm not the only one that feels these things, but still that culture persists at that dam. And they're making it so it'll look nice. It'll be pretty concrete, but it will not be any safer than it is now. And that's what concerns me so much, Chris.
Well, I think everybody, you know, living in the shadow of that directly and all the rest of us indirectly, because as you said, this would have national significance should it fail. I would imagine most of them are holding on to this idea that there are experts in charge, that you know, the right things are being fixed in the right order, that we're not almost random about this. We're not doing this for optics, right? We're doing this because of sound engineering. Like when I get on a plane, 3 million parts on that plane, I like to know that all those parts are working as necessary and trust that that's actually being done here. So you're kind of making it sound like, you know, if you take a good hard look at this, it's kind of like we have airplane mechanics here who are putting decals on the plane when they think there might be an engine problem.
Bingo. Exactly. And the people who believe that responsible people are addressing this in a responsible manner have a right to believe that. They should believe that. And I wish that it were thus, but it is not. The people who are controlling this thing have a culture which has persisted for a very long time. The people they've put in charge time and time again, they have stayed within their culture rather than going outside and attempting to make changes to that. And so, yeah, I think your analogy is spot on. The airplane, the engines are old, the turbines are out of balance, the engines catch fire now and then, and it's got a beautiful new paint job now, you know? And it just doesn't help the safety of the thing that much to have the bottom of the spillway repaired. That was never the problem.
All right, so let's think about how to sort of summarize this then. First off, with a letter grade, A being great, F being a total failure, where are we on this dam?
Somewhere in the lower Ds.
D minus, somewhere
yeah,
in there?
D minus. I'll give them a D minus. And, you know, with the spillway failed and the emergency spillway inoperative, I probably would have given them a D, and only because it probably won't rain that much. That's the thing that everyone must recognize here. The design storm for which this dam was designed is far beyond, like 7 times in volume beyond the water that this dam will pass if everything holds. And there's no reason to believe that it will hold. So the dam has serious issues, and it continues to have serious issues. And the work that's been done, it may get completed. It probably will not get completed on time. It doesn't matter. The point is, when it's completed, the dam is not safer than when it was started. They've been
They've been using explosives to remove concrete. These things are things that are not typically done and are actions that are irresponsible, in my opinion. So they don't respect the liability of that dam. And it's a cultural issue. And that has not changed. So if we get to the point years down the road where the structure is replaced, where a grouting program has taken place, then that dam can be as safe as any dam in the world. It can be a magnificent dam. But until those things take place, we are carrying a liability, and we're simply hoping that that storm does not come.
And what kind of a storm would this be in the context of things? Is we had, it was kind of a pretty good storm, that Pineapple Express that came through, dumped, many, many inches into that watershed. What kind of storm do you think would be concerning here?
Yeah, the storm that the dam is designed for is called the probable maximum storm, producing the probable maximum flood. It is a storm of great magnitude. Of course, it doesn't matter because the dam now will only pass a small percentage of that storm, which the dam was once designed for. The assumption for that design storm, what that would look like would be the emergency spillway that had failed with about a foot of water passing over it, mm-hmm. would have 16 feet of water passing over it for a long duration. Now, you can imagine a wall of 16 feet of water over that entirety of that emergency spillway. A huge storm. But the scary thing is that this dam would be failed now by a storm that's nowhere close to the storm that these dams are designed to pass, because it has no active emergency spillway. Effectively, the emergency spillway will fail shortly after it's actuated. And the principal spillway, which is the only way of passing water over that dam, except for through the turbines of the power plant, if it's actuated, it may or may not hold. And I don't want to be, extreme here, but it is not a good situation. It is not even an acceptable situation. And any dam safety official would have a serious problem with the way that dam now stands.
Now, I remember at the time when we were looking at the principal spillway, and you were pointing out that it wasn't just, the obvious, the fact that the lower third of it got chewed up and washed away, but that all the way up the entire spillway, there were these drains on the side, on the side curtains, where the water was just pouring out of these drains 3-4 feet up the side of the spillway, or I don't know how high those were. Maybe they were 10 feet. I couldn't get the scale. But at any rate, you were saying that meant that water was moving where it shouldn't be. It was moving behind the curtain, under the spillway. Obviously that was true because of how the damage and the lower part failed. Has that been, it's clearly something was wrong under the spillway all the way up at the top.
Yes.
Has that been fixed?
All the way to the top. I don't know the answer to that, Chris.
Okay.
And that is a ridiculous statement for me to make. Has it been fixed? Indeed. I don't know. They don't talk much about these things. I see from photographs that some rock bolts have been put in the slabs at the upper area to tie the slabs down to the rock such as it is, because the bar that were used failed, obviously, because the plate slabs failed on down. So hopefully they have grouted those voids. They were serious voids, large enough to walk through voids up under that spillway. And I have questions of how far do they go. I suspect they go the whole way to the gate structure itself. And I think that the realities of the issues with the gate structures document that. But I don't know, and I can't know, simply because the information is not given to any of us. Although, my heavens, we have the right to that information.
Oh, of course. Now let's talk about the people who have the most right, the people living downstream. What sort of preparations should they take, or would you personally live downstream, or what would we be communicating to people who are potentially in the flood wall if this thing did give way? How alarmed should they be by that D-minus at this point, and what should they be doing?
Sure, that's a good question. It's, you know, I want not to be an alarmist, but if my own opinion of how I would handle it, I would not be concerned at these lake levels, but if the lake went up again to the upper 800s, the top of that emergency spillway is at an elevation of 900 feet above sea level. If the elevation got up into the 800s, let's say 850, I would start getting quite concerned. At the point when the elevation is nearing 900, it will be too late to pack the car and get out of Dodge. So if I saw that the lake was being allowed to fill to those upper levels again, my personal feeling would be that I would evacuate, regardless of what anyone told me. But it is, it's not my place to tell people that, but that is what I would do, mm-hmm. for sure. Well, I would not stay there with that thing flirting with 900. I would have been long gone before that.
So you may or may not know the answer to this, but I'm just wondering, you know, the official statements are, this is safe, we got it under control, it's all good. Insurance companies have different metrics. Is it possible to, do you think, to get flood insurance downstream of this dam at this point?
That is an excellent question too, Chris, and I don't know the answer to it. I can tell you that we thought about the insurance companies because they have a vested interest in this as well. If I were writing the insurance, I would not be writing insurance there right now for flood. That's underwritten by the federal government, as I understand it. And I don't know what the situation now is for flood insurance in that valley. Certainly, it would be a wise purchase for the next couple of years until this thing is under control for the people that live there, because it will be a horrific loss. And even with insurance, with a loss of that size, it will be a difficult situation if failure should occur. It'll be horrific. It'll be life-changing for every American if we allow that dam to fail.
Yeah, I'm sure even that if you had insurance, it would be either small comfort or useless comfort at that point in time. I was just wondering if that was I know that insurance companies have their own ways of assessing risk that sometimes are like the military. They're a little more clear-eyed about what's actually going on. So it's a place to sometimes go and see, get some additional information on the actual nature of what's occurring at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know the answer, unfortunately, to whether insurances are available there or not. The liability is very real, and the liability has not been abated. I wish it were otherwise. Money's been spent, but we haven't addressed the things that I feel are the prominent things which need addressed.
All right. Well, Scott, thank you so much for your time today. This is a fantastic summary, a great update, and I'm a little bit disappointed, but not surprised, to discover that after all of that attention, after all of the concern, that a more organized, more rational, and more transparent process hasn't been followed here at this point in time, such that somebody as involved, as concerned, and as knowledgeable as yourself can say, I don't know where we are on that part of the fix it problem. So it's certainly concerning, but I think also emblematic of many things that we see going on in this country today, where it's sort of like, well, we'll just patch stuff up. We're going to kind of do it on the cheap. We're not going to really take the right answer. And it's just astonishing to me to see this being sort of taken over and over again, because it's certainly not the narrative we tell ourselves about who we are as a nation and about how we're number one and all that. And my travels in the world show me conclusively that we are no longer number one in a lot of dimensions, including infrastructure, particularly. And infrastructure is something that you have to constantly maintain and constantly reevaluate all the time, because it's not a one and done. You don't build pyramids and they last 5,000 years. We're not building those anymore. Everything else, is a building project that is like a house. You know, you got to paint it. You know, you got to watch things. And if this foundation settles, you've got some decisions to make. So that's sort of been my observation is that I watched the structural engineers hand out D minus grades to the United States infrastructure year over year over year. So you've been on the front lines of that. And it's just, I think this is a fascinating case study to help us understand larger picture, what's going on in many other places, as we talked last time, both in dams, but in bridges, waterworks, you name it. So
absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Chris. I enjoy being on your thing, and I enjoy very much the discussions that you and I get to have.
Well, thank you. And for the people listening who want to follow much more closely what's happening with the dam, where do you think, where are the best places for them to do that?
Certainly they can look me up on LinkedIn or Facebook, and I blog on it from time to time. I only blog when something changes generally, but it'll keep people up to date on what is happening. YouTube also, we have a YouTube channel, and I invite people to keep an eye on that. And I do suggest to people Mr. B's report. I thought it was a very well-written report, and I haven't seen many of those lately. So certainly it's a good thing.
Well, fantastic. Make sure we have the link to that, and we will put that at the bottom of this podcast so people can check that out. So again, Scott, thank you so much for your time today.
And thank you, Chris.